Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So back in 2011, after being hired on full-time at First Baptist Watauga, Sarah and I decided it was time to move out of the seminary apartments that we had been living in and to purchase our first home. And so we contacted a realtor, and we began looking at houses online for several days. And after looking at houses online, it was time to look at them in person. And if you've ever gone through the process of purchasing a house, then you know what to expect. We began to go with the realtor from house to house to house, looking at all of the different ins and outs of these houses so that we could decide which was the perfect fit for our family. And then it came time for us to make a decision. Which house were we going to choose? Were we ready to sign on the dotted line and put some money towards this purchase? I can remember sitting with Sarah and the realtor at that table and the level of stress that I felt in making that choice. The room felt like it started to get just a little bit warmer because this was a big decision. This was a big deal, a lot of money. It was probably one of the biggest choices that Sarah and I had made up to this point in our marriage. So this morning, we're launching into a new series titled, Choose, Which Will You Worship? Now, the reality is, this life is made up of choices. We begin making choices at a very young age. Which food am I going to eat, and which food am I going to smear all over my face and high chair? Right? One of our first choices. And then as we get a little older, the decisions become a little bit bigger. Who am I going to become friends with? Who am I going to date? Where am I going to go to college? What am I going to do when I grow up? What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? We have decision after decision after decision. Like it or not, this life is made up of choices. And I believe that in God's grace, He allows us the freedom to make these choices. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't intervene in our life at times to put us back on the right path when we make the wrong choice. Think back to the book of Jonah that we just finished. But regardless, God still allows us the freedom to choose. I've made a lot of choices in my life already. Some choices I wanted to make, some choices I had to make. Maybe you can relate to that. But I've made a lot of choices already. But I would say the biggest choice, the most important choice that I've ever made actually happened when I was 5 years old, when I knelt down in the bedroom right next door in that house, and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ as Lord, when I chose to worship Him with all of my life. And then I made that next big choice to make my faith in Christ public through baptism. So let me just say this morning. The most important choice that you will ever make is who or what you will submit your life to in worship. Hear that again. The most important choice you will ever make is who or what you will submit your life to in worship. Every other choice we make in this life is a temporary choice, and it will have a temporary impact. But the choice that we make, who or what we will worship, will have an eternal impact. And when we choose to worship the one true God, when we choose to worship Jesus Christ as Lord, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who rose again 3 days later, when we choose to worship Jesus Christ as Lord, what we find is hope. What we find is freedom. What we find is forgiveness. What we find is transformation. What we find is salvation. So choose, which will you worship? So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15 this morning. Joshua 24, 14 and 15, and this will be a familiar passage to some of you. And this passage, it's going to be our home passage over the next few weeks as we walk through this series. We're going to look back at this passage each week, but we're also, in the coming weeks, we're going to look at different passages as we talk about the different false gods that so many choose to worship. Now, before we read this passage, let me just give you some background. If you think back to Exodus, that's when we see Moses called by God to lead the people of Israel. But when Moses' life came to an end, at the end of his life, he turned the reins of that leadership over to Joshua, and Joshua began to lead the people of Israel. But as we approach the end of the book of Joshua, what we see is that Joshua is nearing the end of his life as well. And so in chapter 23, we see Joshua's farewell address. Then at the start of chapter 24, we see that Joshua assembles all of the tribes of Israel. He assembles all of the elders, all of the leaders, all of the officers. And as he has them all together in one place, Joshua begins to prepare them for his death. And while Moses transferred leadership over to Joshua, Joshua transferred leadership over to no one. He simply gave them instructions to point them to the Lord. Now, Joshua is doing a good thing by pointing them to the Lord, by giving them these instructions, pointing them to the Lord. But I will say that we see somewhat of a failure on Joshua's part as a leader, because Joshua is someone that Moses discipled. Joshua is someone that Moses raised up so that when it came time for Moses to turn those reins of leadership over to someone, he could turn them over to Joshua. But when it came time for Joshua to turn the reins of leadership over to someone, Joshua had no one there. Joshua hadn't trained anyone or discipled anyone to succeed him in leadership. And so, sadly, what we read in Judges chapter 2 is that after this generation passed away, after this generation of leaders, elders, all of these present there listening to Joshua, after this generation passes away, a new generation is raised up that does not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. So let me pause right here and say this. Future leadership requires present faithfulness. Hear that again. Future leadership requires present faithfulness. In other words, if we are going to continue to see future generations worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord, and leading the church for the Lord, then it requires us to be faithful to raise that generation up today. That's why here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, we have a strong emphasis on our youth and our children's ministries. That's why we encourage youth and children to sing, to play instruments, to be a part of leading in the church today. That's why we have children's choir on Wednesday nights, why we have youth on Wednesday nights, why we have children's church on Sunday mornings. This is why we are committed to raising funds for our new youth and children's building, which, let me give this reminder, on November 5th, we're going to have a groundbreaking celebration for the new youth and children's building. We're going to have that between the two services during the growth group hour. So if you come to the 11 a.m. service, I would encourage you to get here early that day. We're going to celebrate the groundbreaking of the new building, and then we're going to have a fellowship breakfast in the fellowship hall afterwards during that growth group hour. But we are committed to raising funds for this new youth and children's building. We are committed to raising these children up because we are not just entertaining these youth and children. We are pouring into their lives so that they will be raised up to be a future generation of leaders. And that begins today. Present faithfulness. I can look back over the course of my ministry and see the faithful leaders that poured into my life to help me become the leader that I am today. I think back to the very first youth pastor that I did my internship underneath. He allowed me my first few opportunities to preach, which, by the way, it was not good. All right? Be glad that you are not hearing one of those sermons this morning. My wife is the only one in this room that heard my first sermon, and it was terrible. But I had to have some of those bad sermons. I had to get through those bad sermons so that I could learn how to preach. And then in Watauga, the pastor there was faithful to pour into my life, to allow me to lead the Lord's Supper, to allow me to lead family meetings, to allow me to preach on Sunday morning, to allow me to be a part of vision casting, all of this with the desire to train and equip me to lead. Now that's just from a pastoral leadership perspective, but think about some of the other areas that you might serve in. Think about the Sunday school or growth group area. Think about committee leadership. Think about any area of service that you might be in. If you are a great leader in that area, if you are great at serving in that capacity, I would say great. But the question is not just, are you a good leader? The question is not just, are you doing a good job serving? The question is, who are you raising up? Who are you training to be a great leader after you? Who are you training to succeed you in service after you? Future leadership requires present faithfulness. Joshua was a great leader for the people of Israel, but there was no successor, no one to follow him. But even though he didn't train anyone up to follow him, the instructions that he gives to the people of Israel are vital instructions. They were vital instructions for them, and they are still vital instructions for us today. So with that in mind, let's read our passage, Joshua 24, 14 and 15. It says, "Therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which will you worship, the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." So this passage starts out with a simple word, the word therefore, and there's an old joke that pastors tell. When you see the word therefore, stop and ask what it's there for. And so as we see that word therefore, Joshua is saying, everything that I'm about to say, all of these instructions that I'm giving you are a direct result of everything I just told you. So what had Joshua just told the people of Israel? So in verses 2 through 13, after Joshua gathered all the people together, Joshua begins to list off all the ways that God had been faithful to the people of Israel from the very beginning, going all the way back to Abraham. God brought Abraham out of a family and out of a people that worshiped false gods so that Abraham could know and worship the one true God. And God established a covenant with Abraham. When God's people were enslaved in Egypt, God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to say, "Set my people free." And what we see is that while Pharaoh's armies were engulfed in the Red Sea, the people of Israel, they were able to escape through the Red Sea. Then we see that the Lord gave the people of Israel the land of the Amorites and even Jericho as the walls came tumbling down. And the Lord said it wasn't by their hand, it wasn't by their sword, it wasn't by their bow. God said it was by His hand. You see, it was God who was faithful to them. It was God who had taken care of them and provided for them every step of the way from the very beginning until this very point that Joshua is speaking to them now, giving them these instructions. The Lord had been faithful to them. And so as we think about this reminder of God's faithfulness that Joshua gives to the people of Israel, let me encourage us this morning, be reminded of God's faithfulness today. Be reminded of God's faithfulness today. If you would say that you are here today because your parents brought you to church at a young age, be thankful for His faithfulness. If you would say that you gave your life to Christ at an early age because you were raised in a Christian home, thank God for His faithfulness. If you would say that you're a believer, you're a Christian in spite of not being raised in a Christian home, thank God for His faithfulness. If you gave your life to Christ as an adult, thank God for His faithfulness. Be reminded of God's faithfulness today. I'm so thankful for the Lord's faithfulness in my life, and I'm so thankful for the Lord's faithfulness to this church body for nearly 150 years. Amen. Through pastors like Brother Hallam, Brother Wellman, my dad Rob Skinner, Brother Randy Marshall, many other pastors. There is a list of long pastors. If you've ever seen that list of pastors of First Baptist Church Stockdale over the 149 years, there is a long list of pastors that God has been faithful to use and lead this church through. A small number of those pastors are pictured in the Fellowship Hall if you ever want to see some of those. But as we think about all of these pastors, we are reminded the Lord has been faithful to this church body. So be reminded of God's faithfulness today to this church, but in your own life as well. Joshua reminded the Israelites of God's faithfulness to take care of them through the generations. And so these instructions that he gives to them, this call to worship the one true God, is a direct result of God's faithfulness to them throughout the generations. And so now as we walk through this passage and as we see this call to worship the one true God, we're going to look at really the three choices that are laid before the people of Israel, because these three choices are still laid before us today. So the first thing I want you to see is that we can choose to worship who or what our parents worshiped. Let's look at the first part of verse 15 again. It says, "But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which will you worship, the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River." We can choose to worship who or what our parents worship. So when we were at Walt Disney World over the summer, we were waiting in line for one particular ride, and as we were waiting in this line, we were standing next to an exhibit of a recreation of ancient worship places for false gods. And so there were these statues with their hands open, and there was money placed on these statues' hands. And while this was just a replica of these false gods, the reality is this world has had false gods throughout history. Mankind has a history of building these false idols with their hands and with their own tools and then bowing down to worship these idols. Joshua gives this reminder that their fathers or their ancestors worshiped these false gods themselves on the other side of the Euphrates River. You know, it can be easy to fall into the same habits, the same patterns as our parents. It can be so easy to turn to the same things that our parents turn to. We see it all the time. If your parents were alcoholics, it can be easy to turn to that same vice to drown your sorrows. And you find yourself as an adult, as an alcoholic. Or if your parents were constantly losing their temper and you just constantly saw them angry throughout the course of your childhood, it can be easy to fall into that same pattern and have uncontrollable anger yourself. As we think about habits of worship, it's easy to fall into those same habits that our parents had. I've talked a little bit about the faithfulness of our parents, but maybe you didn't have parents that faithfully worshiped the one true God. Maybe they were a part of another religion that rejected Jesus Christ as Lord, or maybe they just believed nothing, atheism or humanism. There are different things that our parents could have believed or turned to, but I want you to hear me. We are not bound to the gods of our parents. We are not bound to the gods of our parents. Just because it's easy to fall into those same patterns, just because it's easy to develop the same habits as our parents, just because it's easy to adopt the same gods that our parents worshiped, doesn't mean that we can't break free of those things and know and worship the one true God for ourselves. We are not bound to the gods of our parents. Now, you may say, well, my parents, they were believers. In fact, my parents were members of this church long before I was ever born. And I would say, that's great. But you still have to choose for yourself to worship the one true God. Your parents could know Jesus Christ as Lord, and they could have modeled a relationship with Christ before you. But your parents can't make that choice for you. You have to come to that choice to worship the one true God for yourself. Your pastor can't even make that choice for you. If I could, I would. But you have to make that choice for yourself, and the Lord has given you freedom to choose. So we can worship who or what our parents worship. The second thing we see is that we can choose to worship the gods of this land. Let's look at continue in verse 15. It says, "But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which will you worship, the gods your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." We can choose to worship the gods of this land. While the Amorites were no longer living in this land, it had belonged to them. And then God sent the people of Israel in to take possession of that land. And when they did, they began to rid themselves. They began to rid the land of all of the false gods of the Amorites. They had worked hard to destroy all of these false gods. But even so, Joshua says, the choice is still yours. If you want to go back and worship all of these gods that we've worked so hard to rid ourselves of, you have the freedom to do that. You know, as we look at the world today, there are many false gods that people give themselves over to. There are many false gods that people choose to bow down in worship. Now, there are false gods in different religions, the false god of Buddha, the false god of Allah. And don't be mistaken, these are not just the same God with a different name. These are not just the one true God with different manifestations. The world we live in, the land that we live in, would tell us that they are the same God and that there are many paths to the same God. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I want you to hear me this morning. There are not many true gods. There is only one true God, and His name is Jesus. Understand, if there were many ways to God, it would render Christ's sacrifice useless. There would be no point for the cross. Jesus Himself said in the garden, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." But there was no other way, and there is no other way. The only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ, the Son. There are not many true gods. There is only one true God, and His name is Jesus. And so we have false gods in other religions, but we also have false god that our world bows down to that's not connected to any specific religion. You may recognize some of these false gods. The god of money. The god of success and power. The god of sexuality, the god of self. We're going to talk about some of these false gods in the coming weeks. But just as the Israelites had the freedom to choose to worship these false gods in their land, we have the freedom to choose to worship the false gods of our land. So we can choose to worship who or what our parents worship. We can choose to worship the gods of this land. Finally, this morning, we see that we can choose to worship the one true God. So let's read all of verse 15 now. It says, "But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which you will worship, the gods your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." We can choose to worship the one true God. So after laying out these choices before the people, Joshua says, "I'm taking a stand. For as long as I'm still living, I and my family, we are going to worship the Lord." Now, we can't see this in the English language, but the Hebrew word that's used there for worship or serve in some copies of God's Word that you may be looking at, the word that we see used there, it's actually a future tense. So what he's truly saying is that we're choosing to worship the one true God today, but we're also choosing to worship the one true God tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We are choosing to worship the one true God every day in the future. So I want you to understand our worship of the one true God is to be ongoing. Hear that again. Our worship of the one true God is to be ongoing. In other words, our worship of the one true God, it is to impact our lives at the moment that we submit our lives to him, but then it's to impact our lives the next day and the next day and the next day and all the rest of our life. Because our surrender to the Lord, it's more than a prayer. Our surrender to the Lord, it's more than walking an aisle. It's more than a baptism. Our surrender to the Lord is a recognition of his authority today. It's a recognition of his authority tomorrow. It is a recognition of his authority every day into all of eternity. And when we recognize and surrender to his authority, what we find is that it spurs us on to continual worship. Our worship of the one true God is to be ongoing. And so Joshua says, I've made my choice. I'm not going to worship the gods of our fathers. I'm not going to worship the gods of this land. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. We're going to worship the one true God. And after he makes that statement, the choice still lays in the hands of the Israelites. The choice still belongs to them. I'm going to choose to worship the one true God, but who will you worship? And just as that choice was laid before the Israelites, that choice is still laid before us today. We can choose to worship the gods of our parents, who or what our parents worshiped. We can choose to worship the gods of this land, or we can choose to worship the one true God. The choice is yours. Choose, who will you worship? And if you've never chosen to worship the one true God by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, as I look at my life, I have given my life over to many false gods. I have worshiped many different things, but I have never surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. But today, I'm ready to do that. Today, I recognize that he is the one that died for me. He is the one that rose again, and he is the only one that has the power and the authority to save me. Today, if you are ready to surrender your life to him, then I would invite you to respond. As we sing, I'm going to be standing right down front. You can come and you can join me. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step to make my faith in Christ public through baptism, just like we watched Gina's baptism in that video. Today, if you'd like to make that decision and commitment to be baptized, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you, so that you can make that decision as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God is calling me to make this my church home, to come and connect my life with this church body, to join this church as it is on mission for the gospel in our community and around the world. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.